Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's Friday morning, afternoon, actually where I am, morning where you are, right? And time for another edition of the Toy Department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How are you as we head into this weekend?
Better than you, bro. You sound a little rough.
I am on the backside of a cold.
That's good. So
I'm definitely a little bit congested, but...
Hold on. My wife is on the backside of a cold.
What are you saying?
What are you saying?
I'm saying I'm 2,000 miles away, so I feel okay. I feel pretty comfortably innocent.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So I actually have a thing I wanted to talk to you about before we really get into it here.
Okay. We got some things to get into today.
Yeah, we do. But I fell down a rabbit hole over the last couple days of a particular musician. I was doing a radio show on Tuesday, and I can't actually remember the context now. That's why I'm sounding spaced out. I don't remember why, but I think it had to do with the concept of like a, in this case, a musician's musician, or like a baseball player's baseball player, or a basketball player. You know what I mean? Like the people inside really love him, but you may not have heard of him. Anyway, someone mentioned this musician named Jacob Collier. Have you ever heard of Jacob Collier?
I don't think that I have.
He's not so far outside the mainstream. I had not heard of him either. But like, he has a song with Daniel Caesar. He has songs with people you know for sure. But he's this crazy, skinny British kid.
Jason Collier, you said?
Jacob.
Jacob, okay.
Jacob Collier. He's this bizarre, frenetic, multi-instrumentalist. And I just, you know, watching this, a bunch of videos of his, especially the live performances in the context of getting ready to do this podcast, made me wonder where you'd stand on a guy like this. Because it's somewhere between stuff you like and stuff you hate. And I don't know if you're into that sort of thing. Like, he's just one of these crazy dudes that has 17 instruments on the stage and runs around looping them and playing them. And
I like some of that stuff. I was into Howie Day before before we found out some of the things we found out.
Who was that? Into who?
Howie Day? Howie Day? Remember Howie Day? He was one of those guys that would loop the loop thing. Robert DeLong's another one that does that.
Robert DeLong, I know. I don't remember Howie Day, but yeah. Okay, then I think you need to check out some Jacob Collier. He's like this young, skinny British kid.
Yeah, I'm looking at this picture.
In particular, he plays the bass and the drums at an incredible level. And then, of course, there's all sorts of keyboards to loop things, and his stage presence is insane and pretty impressive in my view. And I've just been kind of mesmerized by his live performances for the last couple days. So, I know we didn't talk about that, but let's throw that in the homework just for you. Just check him out. I'm interested to see what you think.
I was going to say, sounds like he gave me some music homework there. Okay.
Anyway, back to business.
I'll put that in next week's stuff.
Okay. And for those of you out there who sound like, you know, basically, if what I describe sounds interesting, I think you'll really enjoy it. If you're like, ew, then don't bother.
Yeah. Who knows? Might be terrible. Okay, so we've got a few different things to discuss before we get to the challenge.
Yeah, I think right before we started, you said you were going to let me decide what we were going to talk about first.
Yeah, so there's True Story, which is the Kevin Hart Netflix thing. There's King Richard, the Will Smith Williams sisters movie.
Yep.
And the Morning Show, which is
Okay, well, let's talk about True Story, because it's really on my brain, and I know I'm not going to be able to talk about some of the stuff that I want to talk about, but I would like to hear, I mean, I told you something, but pretend I haven't said anything to you before this recording started. What did you think of True Story? How much did you watch?
I watched the first two.
Okay. Yeah. And?
I don't quite know what to think. I don't know. I almost don't know what the fuck it is. You know what I mean? Like what it wants to be. All right. So
what's
the last
thing that happened?
Let me ask you.
Just plot wise, what's the last thing you saw happen?
Okay. Well, all right. So we're rolling through some spoilers. They definitely, you know, killed a dude.
Okay. So.
They
mild spoilers.
Got his body out of there.
It's less than a third. It's less than a third of the show, but mild spoilers here. Basically, the beginning of the show is Kevin Hart is essentially Kevin Hart. I mean, different name, same basic idea. But he goes home to Philly. He's meeting with his brother, who's a bit of a screw up, I guess. And by the way, I think Wesley Snipes is phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever else I think about the show, Wesley Snipes is so good, and I'm so glad he's back in our lives. Like, there was the long period where we didn't get any Wesley Snipes, and now he's in a lot of stuff, and I'm loving it. And especially, like, just thinking about the character he played in Coming to America, and then this character, like, the range this guy has. And then he was Demolition Man, for God's sakes. Anyway, Wesley Snipes, two thumbs up.
I was very happy that there was a basketball scene with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just so much good stuff with Wesley Snipes. So
I think that was the very last thing, by the way.
I think that's right. That makes sense. So Kevin Hart, his brother's Wesley Snipes. His brother's in some financial trouble, potentially some gangster trouble, hard to say. He just seems like a guy who's down on his luck. But Kevin Hart is the Kevin Hart who's rich and famous. And doing comedy and in a superhero movie, and they party and they wake up. There's a girl next to Kevin Hart in bed. He's like, "What happened?" Wesley Snipes is like, "She OD'd. She's dead." He's like, "Oh God." Wesley Snipes is like, "I know a guy who can get rid of the body." Right. And then they send Kevin Hart away. They get rid of the body.
But why do they want to get rid of the body? This is the part I don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess it's bad press if a girl ODs, but she OD'd.
Let's just keep going for now. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that.
They get rid of the body. Is that Billy Zane, by the way? I didn't check. It looks like Billy Zane. Billy Zane doing Vincent D'Onofrio is how I would describe the guy who Wesley Snipes knows that comes to help Wesley Snipes get rid of the body while Kevin Hart, like, chills out in the other room.
Billy Zane is not it. Oh, yes, he is. Sorry.
Okay. So that's Billy Zane. So then Billy Zane comes back, is like, "Kevin Hart, you're rich and famous. Give me $6 million for getting rid of that bitch's body." And Kevin Hart's like, "Fuck you, bro," and chokes him to death. There's a little more in there, but that's the basic first two episodes of plot. And Wesley Snipes helps Kevin Hart get rid of a second body, which, frankly, if you were ready to dispose of a body and kill a man in cold blood, why'd you need to hire the man you ended up having to kill? Anyway,
the guy they hired had to show him how to do it.
Anyway, when I got to the point that you are now at, I was intrigued because, again, Wesley Snipes is fantastic. I think Kevin Hart's pretty good, too. The acting, actually, overall, I think, is really quite good in this show. But also, I was absolutely positive I knew exactly how it was going to turn out, and I couldn't bear to wait to find out if I was right. So now I'd like to go back to what you were trying to say when I kept cutting you off. What were you trying to say?
I was just trying to say, my assumption is that there's a reason that Wesley Snipes is like no cops, and that the kid went along with it. You know what I mean? That's that reason, I guess, is eventually revealed.
Do you have any thoughts on it?
Because they have to almost make him kill the second person to even actually have done anything bad, right? If it was just the girl that they were hiding and worried about, then I don't even, like, do we even have a show? You know what I mean?
And did any other theories?
I just thought he must have done something bad that they're trying to hide from the cops, right?
Did you want to watch the rest of this?
I don't know that I do.
Okay, so I'm going to ruin it because I got to talk to you about this because it's killing me. When I watched this, there's the scene where he wakes up in bed and the girl's, you know, face down on the mattress, and all of a sudden Wesley Snipes is there and he's like, oh God, she OD'd, she's dead, wake up, we got to do something. What are we going to do? We got to get rid of the body. And I was like, what? Why do you have to get rid of the body? And Kevin Hart was like, what? And he's like, we got to go. I know a guy. Let's go. Get out of here. Get out of here. I know a guy. You go over there. Well, I'm going to get the guy. The guy's coming. You just go take a bath or something. I don't even remember what they sent him off to do, but they just sort of get rid of Kevin Hart while they dispose of the body. And I was like, she's not dead. This is obviously a scam to extort money from his brother.
I could definitely see that, right?
Yeah. And spoiler alert, that's what it fucking is. And then before you get there, like, he just keeps doing more and more fucked up stuff that, like, wasn't necessary, and getting himself further embroiled in this thing with these Greek gangsters who, you know, that's their brother. Like, Wesley Snipes independently owes $600,000 to these two Greek psychopaths whose little brother is the guy that Kevin Hart ends up killing. And then the super fan that he's rude to in, like, episode two.
So
you know what
I knew,
I'm talking about?
Right, because that guy's from Sons of Anarchy. I'm like, I knew that he's not just going to be this, like, it's not going to be a bit part for this dude. You can just tell.
No,
right?
He ends up following them and having video of them disposing of the body. So there's a whole plot line with pretending to be, like, best friends with him, but then Wesley Snipes gets jealous and like, rats out the superfan for killing the guy that kid killed. You know, it's like this over-involved, dramatic, repeated murders till ultimately, like, in a crazy chase scene, Kevin Hart, and again, like, you should have stopped listening to this portion of the podcast if you want to watch this, but Kevin Hart ends up saving Wesley Snipes by shooting both of the Greek gangsters in the face, and then kills Wesley Snipes because he doesn't want the burden of his, like, pain in the ass brother, and then stages the scene so that it looks like he killed the Greeks after they killed Wesley Snipes.
What?
And yes, and that's,
can I ask you, so why are we rooting for Kevin Hart's character after he murders a man for $6 million? Because that is what happens.
I know. Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. And he's like got a kid that he's worried about or whatever. But and then he kills his brother.
$6 million that he had, by the way,
that he totally has. Yeah. And then he kills his brother. Now, to be fair, at that point he has figured out that his brother set him up with the fake dead girl because he finds her. But nevertheless, like, basically what I'm saying is the plot line that seemed obvious to me in the middle of episode two, I guess, takes five more episodes and 15 murders to play out. I mean, that might be a slight exaggeration. Like, he doesn't murder 15 people, but a lot of people die because the Greeks murder some people. Gene, the superfan, gets murdered. The girlfriend who faked dead gets murdered. Everybody dies except Kevin Hart and his managers, basically. And then, you know, the beginning scene where he's, like, talking all seriously about it. That turns out to be a Don Lemon interview that closes the show, where he's like, yeah, they killed my brother and I had to kill them. Life is hard and short. And like, I love my children. You know, like I just, and what's funny is it ends with this, like, staring at the screen of him saying true story that, like, is just, you can't ignore the hint that, like, could this have been something that happened in Kevin Hart's life just as he got famous? You know, which obviously I don't think is, but it's just weird. And for something that clearly had such a significant investment and really such wonderful performances by most of the people in it. Again, I can't stress enough how wonderful it is to see Wesley Snipes. Like, it wasn't even written poorly. They just, the plot was such a half-ass. I'm perplexed and frustrated, but also I couldn't stop watching it, so maybe they win. I don't know what to say.
We may need to have a talk about Netflix. Like, the quality of series television on Netflix has fallen off a cliff these last couple of years, and I think it's by design. I think this is the end game of, like, what letting the algorithm rule your choices looks like, right?
I mean, is the goal to get me to watch because I have to know if it's as dumb as I think?
I don't know. I don't think that's the goal for most people.
Because that trope of, like, the fake dead girl who didn't actually OD but were just trying to extort money from you and put you in a situation where we have leverage over you because you think we helped you dispose of a body, like, that's a scam as old as movies.
Yeah. I just mean, like,
we've done this too many times for that to be the big
hook. You're looking forward to coming back to on Netflix, right? They're all things from, if there's anything, it's stuff from years ago, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll always be happy for more Big Mouth.
Yeah, or Sex Education. What's the Dead to Me, I guess, is still left on, but, like, most of the things that we liked have kind of been canceled.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I don't know what the next thing that I'm truly excited about in, like, a prestige way from Netflix. I don't know what it is.
You know? Yeah, like, they'll drop a random movie that's exciting, but series wise, like, yeah. I think they're more focused on The Circle and shit, you know?
Yeah, I don't watch The Circle, but we do watch some of that garbage.
We do. Yeah, hey, you know, some of that garbage is okay garbage, I guess. But I don't know, man. It's I'm not pleased.
I do think Netflix becomes less essential if it becomes, like, a holding warehouse for fluff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is not fluff. That's what's confusing, really, is this is not fluff. This is clearly, like, a prestige swing in a way, but it just, like, you couldn't do better than a classic con and a bunch of murders. I just think they could have done something a little.
Right. Well, that's
the same premise.
That's sort of what I mean, like, with Netflix. That's kind of why I brought it up, because I think they just look at it and go, well, this thing has Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes and some famous people, and people are going to watch it whether it's good or not. And that has been proven to be correct.
Yeah. I mean, it has a very horseshoes and hand grenades close enough feel.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's
like,
close enough to prestige TV
to get
the eyeballs that we want. It's a limited series anyway. Screw it. Maybe. Yeah. But I hate to think that, and I would like to think a guy like Kevin Hart would have a little more, and I don't know, maybe other people will disagree. Maybe other people won't feel like it's quite such an easy read, but I don't know. I found that frustrating and, again, just confusing. Like, I was just watching this thing as it becomes more and more clear to me that it's going exactly where I expected, and more people are dying just in brutal fashion. It's like, what are we really doing here?
I see
as
our
Wesley
guy,
Snipes acts his ass off. What the hell is happening?
I see our guy Chris Diamantopoulos. Is that how you say that? The guy that was in the Rock Ryan Reynolds movie, that he shows up in this as well.
Yep.
As a jerk.
Correct. Yep. The jerky. He's one of the jerky Greek gangsters
Yeah, that sounds right. And shout out to Tawny Newsome, who we love from Brockmire, that final couple seasons of Brockmire.
Uh-huh.
Who's got a role in this too? All right. I need to know what you – I've been dying for you to finish the morning show so we can talk about it. So I now need to hear your thoughts on season two of the morning show, which I think no matter what – however you evaluate it, I think it's fair to say is categorically insane, right? Like we can just start with that. Yeah?
Correct.
Okay.
I thought it was insane when – I mean, I don't know. To me, it felt like a turn, and maybe this is unfair in one way or another, but it felt like a dramatic, it was like we're in the Batmobile, and I've never seen the Batmobile before, and we're just riding down the street in the Batmobile, and suddenly it does one of those things where like the wheels turn sideways and we start flying or something. That was the sort of turn it felt like to me when Bradley and Juliana Margulies, whatever her character's name is, just started making out in the limo.
Okay, so this is great. I actually can, if I can stop you there for a second, right? Because this is the moment that I was referring to. I don't know if you remember this, but when that happened on the show, you texted me, I think the morning show just drove off a cliff or something along those lines, right?
Yeah, I think I said jump the shark or something, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was drove off a cliff.
Was it?
Yeah, because I was like, I was just dying. I'm like, just wait, because later on, it's literally going to drive off a cliff, this show.
So. Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, like, so when that happened, I was like, oh, wow, this just became a different show. And then when Steve Carell, the weirdest, let me ask you, is that a suicide scene in your mind?
I think so.
I hate to chuckle at whether something is a suicide scene, but that is how soap opera-y this became. Is like, it's not initially, like, it seems like he's getting tired at the wheel, right? A tale as old as time.
It started as an accident, but you see that, like, look of acceptance on his face as it's happening.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to do anything about this accident. You know what
I mean?
Let's just let it happen.
I could have saved this and gotten back on the road and gone back to my Italian lover. And instead, just when things seem to be potentially turning around for my terrible, crappy life after I did horrible things, I'm like, eh, screw it. I'll just let go and drive off the cliff. So it's the soapiest thing you could do, right? This has become a full-on daytime soap opera. And I don't – and then, by the way – we have, instead of like any sort of actual resolution, we just have a dramatic COVID episode to end the season where Rachel from Friends gets COVID on TV as a news anchor. Like, I just don't know.
And then delivers a 20-minute rant about cancel culture.
Right.
On UBS Plus, sorry. Who would be watching this? Like,
it's so bizarre. And I don't understand what. Like, again, not unlike True Story, I just sit in a chair when it's over and think, what was going through everyone's head?
Yeah. Like, what is the show trying to say about cancel culture? What is going on with some of these, like, randomly, like, underdeveloped plots? Like, what was the point other than being an avatar for anti-Asian sentiment? What was the point of the head of the network news character?
Yeah, that, like, she apparently, and we only found this out in like one side comment in one episode, like, apparently she had her own company that they bought.
Yeah.
And then they made her the head of news, but like, we don't know anything about that. She was just there when the season started,
right? She has zero chemistry with Billy Crudup. It's like, there's like, it's
right.
So weird. What was the point of the Yanko subplot
from
this season? Or the Hannah Schoenfeld lawsuit, which sort of like dominates the first couple of episodes and then is sort of never just never really resolved. We don't know what happens with that.
It's almost like they started a season to like follow up on the first season, right? And then COVID happened. And they were like, well, we got to somehow turn this and make it about COVID. And someone was like, Jesus, that's going to be hard if we don't just go totally off the rails. Yeah. And they were let's just fly off the rails.
Let's just jam a Corey and Bradley the love plot in there at the end for no real reason.
What? He's a jealous, spurned lover.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Yeah. It really went from like interesting, you know, verge of prestige, Apple TV Plus flagship show to daytime soap in the span of like 3 episodes.
Yes. Now, let me say, having said all that, I also found it to be compulsively watchable. Like, I watched every single one of these within a day or two of them coming out.
Yeah.
Because it was like the car wreck I couldn't look away from.
And right.
You know what? I will probably watch a third season of it. I'm assuming they're going to make a third season of it.
I mean, so I got to say,
like, I just, this show is so insane. I just want to see what's next, you know?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure I share your confidence that they can make crazy work.
I don't know that it's ever going to work, and I can't blame you if you don't feel the same, but I can't look away, if that makes sense.
I get it.
You know, and look, there are some things to like. Like, it's a really deep cast. You know what I mean? Like, you occasionally get some good scenes.
There's a lot. It has a lot in a weird way. It has a lot in common with True Story because it is. It's a really good cast, and it's not like the writing is bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bad script.
The dialogue isn't bad. The writing is bad, if that makes sense.
Right. Like, I don't know. Right.
Who's got the show outline, but like, take it from them.
Yeah. Yes. There is no, it makes no broader sense.
No, not at all. Not at all. And like, veers from one crazy thing to the next. And like,
correct.
I don't even, like, I couldn't tell you what it's trying to do.
No. And if we started to try to figure out what it's trying to do, I think the first the first of many roadblocks that we would encounter is that any interpretation of what some of the individual storylines might be trying to do thematically, they're all in conflict with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure are.
It's like they're storylines from different shows sometimes.
Yeah. Yep. But you know what? They're going to bring on, right? Next season's going to have probably the actual Julianna Margulies, but its own Julianna Margulies, right? Like, they'll bring in some great actor to hang out for 8 to 10 episodes and do something weird. You know what I mean? And like, it'll be great, you know?
Right.
They got to replace Steve Carell, obviously. So, although maybe we'll see his ghost.
At this point, a ghost would not be that far removed from the reality that they are actually living in.
Yeah. We didn't even get into Chip, like, basically giving himself COVID to make an hour special.
Yeah.
Plus.
And clearly throwing away his engagement to his actual real-life wife.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They also have so much more chemistry than he and Jennifer Aniston do.
Oh, my God. And just in general, his whole, like, oh, man, if I ever see her again, I'm going to give her a piece of my, okay, I'm back.
It's like, do you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer's thinking about cheating and he gets the stick with your wife fortune cookie, or he gets the cheat on your wife fortune cookie, and the guy in the back's like, oh, man, better open up a box of stick with your wife's. Like, I wish Chip had got the stick with your wife fortune cookie.
Yeah, very weird choice. Very weird choice.
I guess it would be stick with your fiance. They weren't technically married, right? They were engaged.
Right. No, they're just real life married.
Yeah, they're just real life married. Correct. All right. Well, anyway, like I said, I'm on board, so I'll be happy to update you on what happens in future Morning Show episodes. But holy crap. What a dumpster fire season 2 was.
It is as absolutely batshit as any, like, any television that was at one point serious.
Yeah.
You know, any television show ever that was at one point serious, that's as crazy as it's ever gotten.
I'm really interested to see, actually, honestly, because I don't think that is the kind of thing that either Reese or Jennifer had in mind
or
when they
Billy
said not to do this.
Like,
yeah, so I'm hoping that they all take a good look in the mirror after
or Mark Duplass. All of these people are like high level real actors. I don't understand. That's what I'm saying. It's sort of the same thing with Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes in True Story. Like, where's the quality control?
Marcia Gay Harden's a goddamn Oscar winner, okay?
Fucking A. Who's the quality control coach here?
It could just be, look, you got to think the checks on the show are very large, and that may have something
to
do
with people. Yeah. Well, look, and I do think sometimes you get inside a thing and you're doing your character and you're locked in, and then, like, you don't totally.
Right, you don't know how it's going to get edited together and it's all going to come out, I guess. But
maybe, yeah. But it just seems, how could you not have been like, is this too insane? Should we talk? Are we?
Did we go a little too far, maybe? Oh, man. All right. King Richard. I guess, speaking of potentially going too far, King Richard, Will Smith as Richard Williams. I don't have like a ton to say about this. I thought it was a really well done movie, and that Smith's performance is fantastic. You know what I mean?
100% agree.
To watch him disappear into the role of like a, you know, kind of old man, of which you realize, oh yeah, Will Smith kind of is. Like, he really pulls it off, and the movie doesn't work if he doesn't, I don't think.
Okay, he's not like an old man though, is he? How old's Will Smith?
I mean, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a long time ago, man.
He's not that old.
I mean, you know, 53, middle age.
Yeah, look, I mean, I thought he was excellent. I think he's not in a lot. It's not that hard to forget that when Will Smith really digs in, he's about as good as anybody.
Yeah.
He's a really, really, really good actor, man. And I'm just trying to pull up his filmography to see, like, when did, you know, how much Will Smith have we really seen lately? Because it feels like almost none. And I think he's sort of,
Well, he made a really bad Netflix movie, right? I didn't watch that one.
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No? Am I crazy?
Yeah, maybe.
His filmography.
Maybe it's because when he goes out to promote the movie, he's, like, talking about his, like, weird sex life and stuff. Maybe it's...
Oh.
Which is a weird thing to do when you're playing at, you know, in a essentially a movie that's about family.
His last. Wait a second. That's TV. He did Bad Boys. That, you know, the Bad Boys reboot that came out in 2020.
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't see that, but okay, that was around. What is Gemini Man?
Oh, yeah, that's like he's two versions of himself.
Was that in theaters?
He was the Aladdin, I guess. Bright was the Netflix garbage you're talking about, I think, in 2017 that people were upset about.
2017, that long ago, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, he did nothing in 2018 film-wise. He has not been super out there. And the last
he's
time
working pretty infrequently, if you look for a while, he's been working pretty infrequently since like 2008, basically.
The last real like acting swing he took, unless you count Gemini Man, which was really an action flick, was probably, I mean, I'm going all the way back to what, Concussion?
I think Collateral Beauty.
Collateral Beauty.
I didn't see Collateral Beauty, if I remember. But yeah, I'm looking at it, and I can say he's definitely trying to do some acting in it, just from looking at
it. But that was 5 years ago. That was 5 years ago, and I don't know if it worked, you know? The last time...
Something right before that. I lost the page. Here we go. Concussion. You're right. Concussion and Focus, I think, where he was pretty good.
Focus, but I don't think it was that well received. I mean, I feel like the last time Will Smith's acting was super well received was probably I Am Legend, which was 14 years ago.
Crazy.
Certainly The Pursuit of Happiness, which was 15 years ago. But like,
yeah, Oscar nominated, if I'm remembering correctly.
You know, since then, there's a Men in Black. There's that 7 Pounds that nobody liked. Hancock, which is as big a mess as any movie that's ever come out. After Earth, nobody liked. You know, some of these I didn't see. I liked Focus, but again, I don't feel like it went over that well. Suicide Squad, nobody liked. Collateral Beauty, I don't think anyone liked. Like, and I'm not trying to diss on Will Smith because I love him and I thought he was great in this. I'm just saying it's nice to have a reminder. He became Richard Williams.
He's got like almost like a Dale Murphy-esque kind of career where there's like an 8-year run that you could put up with anybody and then it just falls off a cliff kind of. So until this, you know what I mean? It's been a while. So
he is, he's in an Antoine Fuqua movie that's supposed to come out next year. That could be interesting, obviously. Action thriller of some kind called Emancipation. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, just a random question?
Oh, he's a slave who escapes.
Ooh, interesting.
And joins the Union Army. Wow.
I'm in for that.
Based on a true story.
It's been a while since he did Civil War, right? Random geography question. Where in Oakland did they have would they host a tennis tournament? The Climactic Tournament is the Bank of the West Classic in Oakland, which I'm assuming is, you know, legit.
I was thinking about that, and I'm guessing it's the Coliseum, but I did not check.
I mean, it'd be hard to do a tennis tournament in the Coliseum, right?
Well, I mean, it's clearly a building that has...
It looked like a dedicated structure for tennis in the movie, I'll say. You know what I mean?
It did.
And I looked it up. The Bank of the West Classic is currently on the Stanford campus.
Yeah, no, it was at the Coliseum.
Oakland Coliseum, okay.
Played on indoor carpet courts at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
Hmm.
Part of the Tier 2 category of the 94. That was 94, which I think is the year. Yeah.
Did you know how that was going to play out, how that match was going to play out? I did not remember.
I knew she did not. I knew that was a match that was noteworthy and that she did not win. I did not remember that Arantxa iced her out. I did not remember that.
What a great. I was like, man, I hadn't thought about Arantxa Sanchez Vaquero.
I know. What a great name. But you know what? I don't think that was. I don't know. And I don't think they tried to play it that way in the film. I don't think that was anything other than a vet trying to rook a rookie when she felt like she was in a tough spot. Like, it was nothing personal.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, you see that kind of stuff, right? There was a big controversy about that this year.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing that tennis players do semi-regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
And she ended up winning that tournament, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because obviously it's an incredible story and it's incredible that he predicted insane things for these girls and that they literally came true. You know,
I mean, here's the thing about this film. Anytime you're looking at him like, bro, what the, like, dog, stop it. Then you are forced to go, God damn it. He was right.
Yeah.
And
but these, I'd like to know, I would have liked to have known, like, these girls changed tennis with the way they hit, right? Like, everyone is following them and you never really get to see like how they learned to hit so hard. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, right. Serena kind of filling out into this like super muscular person when she's like, you know, super skinny in this, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of how they became who they are that I feel like I didn't totally get from this movie.
I mean, look, Serena grew into a woman. I don't know that there's any mystery to that. I think, in terms of the hitting part of it, that I agree with. Like, he's so committed to this open stance that is apparently anti-orthodoxy, and it's not totally clear why he's so committed to it or where it came from, unless I missed it.
No, and it seems like that it would just mean shots that you could get to, not that you were hitting the ball harder, right? Like, it would just change the shots that you could sort of do your forehand with, right, in that open stance.
Well, I don't know. So here's the one thing that I thought about. I actually thought about this a decent amount. If you think about facing sideways, right? So if you just think about a forehand tennis shot, if you're standing sideways so that your left side, if as a right-handed swinger, so that your left side is facing the net, right? And you swing your forehand through, you're getting a big backswing and less of a follow-through. If you stand open, you get a little less of a backswing, but much more follow-through. And I wonder if that's not sort of the distinction and where the power comes from.
Maybe, but none of that has anything to do with the serve, right? Which is also, you know, a big part of their power game.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't really know. I was just sort of thinking about it. And that was my galaxy brain conclusion, is maybe it's the follow-through. But yeah, I know that would have been nice. But I feel like also maybe that's for a like documentary.
Yeah, it might be for a different movie, but you know, I really thought the rest of it was pretty well done. I thought they did a good job of like showing you, you know, that Richard Williams did not know everything, you know, and mess some things up along the way. And
yeah,
real consequences for the people in his life. You know,
well,
I mean?
and you know, certainly there's been some discussion about like some of the shadier aspects that were largely ignored of who he was as a person, who he is. He's still, I thought he was dead. He's not. He's just sort of taken a back seat as they've become adults. And I think that's a credit to him.
Right. He had a stroke too, right? That I think
at one point. Yeah. But also just the fact that like he's not insisting on any attention is probably a sign of some sort of growth or understanding of his situation. Either way, I it's just flabbergasting that he did that accomplished this. And obviously, you know, Venus and Serena are the ones who accomplished a lot of these things directly, but the fact that he saw this as possible and then somehow put in the incredible amount of work it took to make it happen, and then also was lucky enough to have two daughters who were willing and able to put in the amount of work it took to make it happen, not to mention the athletic gifts that were necessary. It's a remarkable story.
Yeah.
It's like mind-blowing. And I think this does a good job of telling it in a way that is clearly aggrandizing to this man, but if that's the story that his daughters want to tell, I'm okay with that.
Me too. You know, it'd be, I would feel differently if they weren't, you know, involved as producers, but
sure.
You know, clearly they
if
are.
If this was him producing his own hero story, it would be different, but these are the girls that people were worried about. Right,
and he's grown up to be fine women. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Like, it's not goddamn Stockholm syndrome. He's not like driving this with an iron fist. To me, it's clear that they sincerely appreciate their crazy ass father for putting them through some insane stuff to get them to where they got, because they are two of the most accomplished women in the world, and clearly they think he deserves some credit for that. So shout out Richard Williams. I thought it was good.
Yeah, you know, Venus now, mind you, still one of the top 10 most paid women athletes in the world, like, last year. So you can imagine where Serena is, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
and one, you know, because they don't get into the careers, something that isn't totally addressed in this is, like, together as a doubles team, literally unbeatable.
Yeah. They also didn't get into how awful the matches were when they used to play each other. I'm kind of surprised about that.
Yeah.
It
was the one time Serena didn't totally seem to want it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird. All right, let's. Should we move on to the challenge?
Yeah, I guess we should.
Let's start with the mothership, shall we?
Of course.
All right. I feel like we need to start at the end. Does that make sense of this episode?
Sure.
With the big twist, essentially?
Yeah. I okay. There so you just All right. So, I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, although if you haven't seen the challenge, I don't know why you would listen to this.
Yeah.
there's an elimination. Goodbye, Logan. And by the way, quickly on the elimination, Logan was already in, obviously, and he chose Emmanuel. Why do you think he chose Emmanuel?
I mean, I just think he thought Emmanuel was the weakest option, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I think he thought it was a puzzle. Because thought it was a puzzle. Because there was like a rocket and some black boxes, and it looked like maybe you'd have to, figure something out on the rocket, and there was like a screen. And as it turned out, the screen was just the countdown, and it was literally all about, like, you know, macro dexterity and endurance, which is like the worst thing to do against Emmanuel.
No, this is like, I mean, there's not going to be a better elimination for Emmanuel.
No, Logan might have beaten any of his other options. Like, probably...
You'd certainly rather see Devin in that.
Yeah, even Nelson. Yeah. Like, Nelson's endurance is not his best strength, you know?
Right, and Nelson's short, right? So getting over that rocket, especially, you know, doing it dozens and dozens of times, it seems pretty clear they were going to have to do.
Exactly. Emmanuel just, like, was like a cat, just, like, prancing back and forth across this rocket. Like, it was the easiest thing in the world for him. Anyway, so Logan's gone, but then TJ does not say... Who would you like to infiltrate? He says, rejoin the group. And then he says, two more people will be eliminated tonight. And then the episode ends. And because of the twist, we get virtually nothing in coming up on the challenge.
Other than these people going, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there are 10 people currently left in the game.
And I think we have to assume that the two people leaving will be one of each gender.
Because there are...
Five girls, five guys right now.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, okay. I think that's right. Yeah, they're going to eliminate one man, one woman. And then we're taking eight to the final.
Right.
And probably one team gets eliminated during the final, right?
Perhaps. But let's hold off on the final. We'll get to that. What could this twist possibly be? They're not dressed for legitimate competition, and he specifically said, TJ specifically says, you will not leave this arena. So
that is one thing you see during the trailer is them dressed for legitimate competition. So I'm assuming that someone brings clothes out for the people who are unclothed.
Really? I didn't see that. Everyone was dressed?
People who are not dressed, what I'm saying is people who are not dressed in the... At the moment of the end of the show, we're shown in their uniforms in the next one. That makes sense.
Interesting. Okay, I did not catch that. So if that's true, then we're definitely talking about some kind of competition.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're just going to be like, pick two people, vote someone out. You know what I mean? They're going to eliminate somebody. So, doesn't this say to you that we now have a pairs final or an individual final, right? Like those are kind of the option, you know, teams which means that all this team stuff that they've been talking about, as I predicted, was going to be useless for them in the final.
Yeah. Yeah. We all kind of thought that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the main thing to me about where we seem to be headed with this. So, and it'll be interesting to see which two people go, because we've gotten down to the point where there are no weak players, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. Although I want to put this to you, because it occurred to me at some point.
By the way, when I said Romania was the rookie of the year a couple weeks ago, boy was I right.
Yeah, well that's definitely proven out. Let me ask you, what has Nani done all season?
She's had a beautiful romantic relationship with Casey.
Yeah, she hooked up with the strongest girl in the house and got in on the strongest team in the house and has basically coasted from there. Doesn't You know what I mean?
Yeah. She tries.
No eliminations.
Nope.
You know, is at the missions, but I don't know how much she's really contributing relative to the other people on the team.
Probably not, but she certainly, you don't doubt her desire to contribute.
Yeah, I don't doubt her desire. You know what I mean? But
I mean, look, let's do this, right? Five guys, five girls. I think pretty clearly we know who the weakest girl is, right?
That's what I'm saying is, do we?
No, we do. We do.
Do we?
Yes, because Amanda's attitude makes her the weakest. Period.
There was no difference between Amanda and Nani in that game, is all I'm saying. Other than Amanda was probably smarter about how she was, you know, playing it, to be honest.
Amanda was?
Yeah.
Why would you say that? She was constantly getting herself into trouble. She could have been sent home repeatedly.
What? I'm not. No, I just meant the last challenge, the last daily challenge. Sorry, I wasn't talking about this whole season.
Which one was? Remind me.
I'm just saying, Amanda and Nani in the last challenge we saw them in looked to be pretty damn equal. That was my point.
Yeah, neither of them brought any value to that running across a thing above water. But again, you'd rather have Nani on your team, I think, pretty clearly.
Yes, I would rather have Nani on my team, but I don't know that Nani's going to be any better in a final than Amanda is.
No, but if you're choosing who to send home, clearly it's Amanda. That's all I'm saying. She's obviously the bottom of the ladder.
I guess, yeah, which goes right back to Nani skating through this game on relationships and not being challenged at all.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just trying to put the women to the side. Not, you get it. Anyway.
Okay.
I think it's much harder to decide who the weakest man is. That's what I was trying to get to.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, man.
I mean, it might be
Kyle. I mean, it's Emmanuel or Kyle, isn't it?
Well, but I guess it depends on what the what we're doing, right?
All of them, it's like, yeah, you're just taking your chances at the event, right? Because they all have their strengths.
If it's a puzzle and you end up with Nelson, you're in big trouble.
Right. So it's like, yeah, it is a bit of a toss-up there. I agree.
So, you know, if it is one of those...
Except CP, who clearly seems to have no weaknesses.
Yes. It's clear who the best player is. It's also, I think, pretty clear who the best woman is. As much as I love, and I do love, Tori and Emmy, Casey is pretty obviously the strongest female, right?
Right.
So Casey and CT are the favorites, and Amanda is the weakest link, but I don't know, like, if there's about to be a challenge where one of five guys is eliminated, who gets eliminated will depend entirely upon what the game is. And to take it a step further, if it's one of those rotating partner finals, like who you get for what event is going to be super important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would not be surprised to see Amanda if we assume Amanda goes into this next elimination, I would not be surprised to see her win it either.
Yeah, again, I'm assuming this next elimination is going to be something that involves the entire group. Wouldn't you think?
Where it's like whoever comes in last loses. It's a daily challenge and the last two get eliminated.
That sort of idea, yeah.
I could definitely see that. I'm not going to say I would definitively say that's what will happen, but I think it's a definite possibility, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like I said, it depends entirely what the event is.
Yeah. Sure does.
Except for CT, who will win no matter what it is.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, I mean, CT broke it down. It's like basically like, no one wants me here, but what are you going to do about it, right? And none of those guys want them there, but they have no idea what to do about it.
No, and it's hard to conceive of what could possibly happen in that arena that would result in CT going home other than a vote by the other four guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know. I mean, look, it's not like he's undefeated in eliminations, right? So you can't beat him, but no one wants to try. They're all way too scared to take him on. And after this week, it's kind of hard to blame him.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we just watched a bunch of people who are really good at the challenge. As you said, there are very few weak competitors here. There are, I would say, no weak competitors on the men's side. No, I mean, people could get it done. But CT looked like he was playing a totally different game than the rest of them.
Yep. And CT is Tom Brady, right? Like,
I think he's still doing it
at the top of his game after 40. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the difference between CT and Tom Brady is that draft day picture of Tom Brady.
Well, but CT's looked like that at times, right?
Yeah, but it's not the same. That would be more CT being heavy a couple seasons ago is more like Tom Brady's last couple years in New England, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like if Aaron Rodgers had Tom Brady's career. Like, that's how incredible this guy is in this particular sport.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, everybody wants to kind of like, it's like, there's a little of Tampa Bay Tom in him too, right? And like, all these vets want to join back up. You know what
Yeah,
I mean?
No, now he's definitely Tampa Bay Tom. Yeah, he's 100% I mean? Tampa Bay Tom right now. Like, the fitness makes no sense. He's still at the top of his game, and everyone would love to beat him, but is more interested in joining him because he's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all of those things. It's pretty wild, you know? And I mean, are we at the point, you know, because look, Bananas has 7 wins. You know what I mean? And CT's got a ways to go to get there.
I think he's up to 5 or 6.
I feel like we got to say that CT is the GOAT, right? Like,
I think it's pretty clear. Yeah.
I do.
It's almost like, I mean, it's so weird because the championships don't line up, so it's a weird analogy. But to me, Bananas is the Peyton Manning to CT's Tom Brady. Like,
he's only got 4 wins, by the way. So he's got
okay. He's got so he's got to do 3 more. So 2 more after this week. anyway. I mean,
He's the heavy favorite to win this year, right? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely has to be the like prohibitive betting favorite. I wonder if you could bet on the challenge anywhere. I know there's fantasy leagues. Obviously, you were in one, right?
Yeah, I tailed off with my participation there, which was dumb. But I'm sure you can bet on it somewhere. We need to find this out. I'll do some scouting during the week.
Okay. Did you have a burn of the week or an MVP? I mean, CT is the MVP, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any. Like, that daily challenge performance.
It's ridiculous. Like, just totally ridiculous.
Was like that. Like, remember the Leroy of last season where we're like, that was that, basically, right? Like, yep. Single-handedly won by himself.
Emmy said CT is like a ballerina, and she was not wrong.
Yeah. And like, but I can't believe that more of the people, since he went first, like, that didn't follow him, you know what I mean, technique-wise. Like, Devin was the only one that seemed to want to use those balls coming at him, you know, to his advantage.
Emmanuel tried. I just don't think it's as easy as CT made it look.
Yeah, he sure did. He just, like, zoom, 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 zoom. Yeah, like, man, that was really something.
He really all right, did so just, part, like, twinkle toe across like a ballerina. It was remarkable.
Yeah, I didn't have a ton of great burn of the week account candidates, so I gave it to Kyle, just for his harassing. Yeah, and I liked that he did it to people's faces and clearly pissed off Tori enough to the point where she had to like call him out for not winning with grace.
Yeah, so, she had a smile, but she was definitely annoyed, and he. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's so funny, man. CT nailed him last week. He just, and this isn't that, but he just does sneaky stuff. And then he's so goofy, you can't tell if he was sneaky or just stupid. And that's his whole strategy. And it seems to work relatively well.
Yeah. I mean, he gets pretty far in every
season. Yes. And in this case, he's very close to a final. And he knows he had nothing to do with the win, and he's talking trash to everybody.
Yep. So he's made.
Derek. Hello. Hello. Are you there?
I am there. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been talking.
I lost you when you said he's made.
Oh, I said he made two finals. He made two finals out of seven seasons.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think he got pretty far in the other five as well. And then I also said I hope he does 100 seasons because he's so great to have on your television program. what did you make of the quiet deliberation this week?
Well, I was going to edit out the break until you said, and then I said.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well. There you go.
All right.
That's what happened.
Technical
it was a weird one, though, right? That deliberation, that room, like nobody really wanted to like speak up for themselves or trash anyone else. BT was like legit mad.
Yes. Or not. You never really know with him, right?
It's true.
But it was because, and I mean, I think we know why, right? Because whoever gets sent in is then going to pick who they want to go against. And the last thing you want to do is piss someone off right before they're going to pick who they go against.
Yep. Yep. That is true. So I got to pick someone.
But not anymore. I don't think there's going to be any more picking. So
nope.
Here we go.
Nope. We're going to eliminate two and then it's off to the final, I think. Do you have anything else for this or should we jump to All-Stars?
My burn.
Oh, yeah. We did get your burn.
It was a nonverbal burn, but Devin took just a brutal fall in the daily challenge, and TJ laughed as hard as I have ever seen him laugh.
Yeah, TJ was great.
And then when I listened to the podcast, the Tori and Anissa podcast, Tori was like, yeah, like five people walked away from that with black eyes. Like, there were some brutal falls. Almost everyone got hurt. I was like, oh, damn. TJ was laughing when Devin was like getting a black eye.
Yep. Oh, it looked funny.
Gotta love it.
TJ was also great on All-Stars, I think.
Oh, my God. Although, okay, let's turn to All-Stars now because I have to say this is not the trivia challenge I want.
Oh, I actually thought this was one of the better trivia games I've seen on the show.
Really? Now, to be clear, the actual, like, it went pretty well, and it was enjoyable to watch. I'm talking about the, like, you know, name a Harry Potter book part of it.
Yeah. I love the format of the questions, like, name a Tom Cruise movie. Yeah, I loved it. Because it was something that, like, seems easy, but, like, in that state, right? Because you only have room, like, yes, Tom Cruise has made, like, 70 movies or whatever, but you only have room for five or six of them in your brain, right?
Well,
so you get in these situations, right, where it becomes you're hanging, you know, thousands of feet in the air and scared to fall off and scared to get something wrong. And, like, it's a question that seems easy, and yet it gets difficult pretty quickly. So, I really like that format. Actually, of the way they ask those questions.
Okay, but so my problem is, like, you don't get as many hilariously stupid answers.
You don't. You get MJ calling New Orleans a state.
Right. That was pretty good after someone already said Louisiana, too. But that was maybe the only really hilarious stupid answer. And that's sort of why I like the trivia challenge. So I see your point, and I don't disagree. I like the ones where they give ridiculously bad and like the math they can't do, or the, like, you know, when they're asked for a state capital and they give the name of another.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's fun to see them be dumb.
Yeah, so
but
I
you get a little
that.
Of that, and they were also all so terrified. You know what I mean? Like that.
No, the format of standing, hanging off the building and dropping the way they dropped, which seemed like they just got like yanked off the back. Yeah. That was great.
And you had a lot of noted fear of heights people in that group on top of.
Okay. So we got to talk about this. I mean, it happened anyway, but if we're going to quit every Heights challenge. We got to stay home. I love you, Katie. Katie is truly, she's one of my favorite challengers.
Yeah.
But don't come. Don't come if you're going to quit before you ever start. Just don't come.
Well, and that's such an easy one to, like, you know, if you don't want to be there, just get an answer wrong. You don't have to like, get me down. But she didn't want to take that jump. Even.
Exactly. But it's like when someone shows up and refuses to eat. Yeah. Like, you knew
you'd have to do this.
You knew there was going to be a Heights challenge. Don't come if you can't do it.
Yeah,
I have sympathy for you if you absolutely cannot do Heights. But then the challenge is not for you anymore. You can't.
But that's been true every season that she participated in, wouldn't you say?
I don't know that she's quit
like that.
There's
been a Heights challenge?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know that she's quit it in that way.
I think she's quit some before. Yeah, you know.
So even so, like, it's enough now. You're 40. Stop it.
Yeah.
Like, 40 is too old to be quitting on the challenge stuff before it starts.
That was a legit meltdown, though. Tell you that.
It was, but then don't come. That's what I'm saying. I have sympathy for your meltdown. I'm not saying they should have forced her to fall off a building when she was having an anxiety attack. I'm saying don't come.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Some other notes I have. as they're walking out
onto
the platform.
By the way, prior to this.
What?
9 seasons.
There you go.
11. This is our 11th if you count the two All-Stars.
Okay, so chill. You don't have to come back. We saw you on All-Stars 1. It was great. Nice to see you again. But if you're not ready to do it.
Wasn't there a Heights? There was definitely a Heights challenge on All-Stars 1, right?
I think so. I don't know. She might have been eliminated already. She definitely had some trouble in some of the challenges anyway. And I love her, but just don't come. Casey did not quit, okay? You quit, and Casey did not quit. So shame on you.
Yeah.
TJ, as they were walking out to the platform, said, "It's getting windy. You better hurry up." Which was incredible. He got some incredible looks on that. Some other great notes I have. When she knew she did not have the right answer, Tina said, "Give it to Big Mama."
She sure did. She sure did.
And then when she was hanging in her harness, she screamed to the people below her, "Look at that camel toe."
Yep. So good.
Tina has not changed, and I'm glad she's here.
Yeah.
The most surprising thing to me, now it was a dumb answer because, like, McDonald's, but Denny's is not a top 20 chain.
Oh, that was surprising to you?
I mean, I like, top 20?
Oh, I was like, oh dear. Denny's?
How many chains can you name before you get to Denny's?
I don't know. I feel like it would be a lot.
There's actually less than 10 gigantic fast food places. Okay.
All right. By the way, I want to find out what this is. It's the 20 most popular chains. Is that right?
I thought it was the biggest. I don't know. I thought it was like the 20. Somehow I took it as the 20 chains with the most restaurants. But they might have said popular, so I don't know how that's defined, I guess.
Okay.
But there's a lot of damn Denny's in the country, no? Am I crazy?
Sure, but are there more Denny's than Olive Gardens? Are there more Denny's than Starbucks?
Ooh, Starbucks is a good one that I hadn't thought of. But, like, you know, I the obvious ones, like McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and Starbucks is a good one. But, like, there's less than 10 of those. I would think in the next 10, you would get to Denny's. Anyway, this is a dumb discussion. I'm just surprised.
Okay, per Wikipedia.
Yeah.
This is the largest. It does say fast food, so maybe that. No, Denny's is on here. Denny's is 43 on this worldwide list.
43? Yeah. That's worldwide.
It's worldwide.
Not America.
But
well, I don't know how many Denny's there are in other countries.
I will give you, here's the American list. McDonald's, Subway, Starbucks, KFC,
Subway,
Burger King, Domino's, Pizza Hut,
the pizza.
Dunkin'.
Really?
Somebody called Hunt Brothers Pizza.
Okay, see, this is where I thought we would get
7,800 locations.
This is where I thought we'd get to Denny's. You can't blame me for thinking Denny's would be in the same area as
Hunt Brothers Pizza is a weird one. Now we're at Taco Bell, Wendy's, Baskin Robbins, Hardee's, Orange Julius. That's a surprise, but it makes some sense if you think
about
it.
What was it?
Orange Julius.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like the mall. They have Orange Julius is like kind of a mall smoothie sort of place. You get hot dogs there. 5,700 of them in the States. Papa John's, Dairy Queen, Little Caesars, Sonic, Popeyes, Arby's.
Okay. I for sure would have thought there were more Denny's than Arby's. That's
all right. Here's some other places that are in like the 20s that are higher than Denny's. Chipotle.
Oh, man.
Chick-fil-A. Panda Express.
What's the world coming
Applebee's.
To?
Applebee's.
More Applebee's than Denny's. Or honestly. Shame on us.
Yeah, only by about 300.
They don't serve a grand slam at Applebee's that I'm aware of. Anyway. Okay, I think we can move on from Denny's. I was just surprised. One other note.
Yeah, I was not surprised. I was like, oh no. When she said Denny's.
Did you realize the sheer size of Melinda?
No.
Like when they all of a sudden were all lined up and Melinda's standing next to all the other girls, it literally looks like a field trip where she's the teacher, like leading a bunch of middle schoolers around. She's got like 6 inches on everyone. She like it looks like if they got into a fight, Melinda would just it'd be like, you know, Gulliver and the Lilliputians.
That's great. I'm trying to see if I can if they have her height weight listed here. They do not. Yeah. Sorry. 38. She's 38, by the way.
Right on. That seems like the sort of the median age is around my age, 40.
Yeah, for the show, for sure. All right, and then the eliminations were, you know, I don't know. They kind of were what they were.
I mean.
We got to talk about, here's something I'm curious about. Who do you give credit for getting Derek in elimination to Nehemiah or to Steve? Or to someone else?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. This is something I wanted to talk about as well. It's obviously to Steve. Nehemiah. He is so sure, A, he masterminded the whole thing, and B, Derek is, like, targeting him. Neither of which thing is true.
I mean, look, he was the one to say they have life shields, they're going to use them to protect them. You know, he did spell it out.
But then Steve said, what if we put them in so they have to use their life shields on them? It was all Steve's idea. And
I'm
then
with
he
you.
Convinced
I give it
Casey,
to Steve. But I do see how someone would have the impression that it was Nehemiah. You know what I mean? But I'm with
I
you.
I guess if they were Nehemiah and incredibly self-centered and bizarre, then yes, I could see how that might happen. And by the way, Steve screwed Katie hard. And not to say she didn't deserve it after the way she performed, but if that's your friend, and it definitely is the only one in that house who gives a flying fuck about you, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'll give him one little tiny piece of credit that he was at least man enough to admit it at the end. Like, yeah, I really screwed
that
up.
To the camera.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he really screwed that up.
I mean, and by the way, like, he totally essentially had control over the situation. It was his strategy. Casey would have listened to whatever. She's saying all this stuff that makes no sense. There's no reason to throw Ayanna in there unless you just want to eliminate Katie.
Right, which I think she kind of maybe wanted to do.
Yeah, but all Steve had to do was be like, that's a non-starter. I got to give Katie a chance.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was no reason to put Kendall in either. Like, neither of those people had to be even a choice.
Yeah, I didn't quite get any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get any of that. Other than that, it was brilliant to have. I can't believe no one ever thought of that before with these life shields.
Right.
Just get them out of there.
Well, see, in the past, it hasn't been clear that you just get to pick a new person. Like, usually with the life shield, who will replace the person that saved is sort of a mystery.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a mistake by production. And I don't know if there's a reason they did it that way deliberately, but, like, just giving the the team in control, the opportunity to pick the replacement sort of neutralizes the life shield in general.
Yeah, seems like right, because it seems like every team's going to do that going forward unless they change the game.
Because they could have done it the other way, yeah. Right? If they had wanted to get Jody out, for instance, they could have made it so they put in someone she wanted to save and then chose her as the replacement. So yeah. The life shield is worthless.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Also, just one last note. Man, Ayana, she is a trip. She is way out there, dude.
I have to admit, I had forgotten about I Slept in My Uniform, and I was delighted to see a callback to that in this episode.
She's nuts.
Yep. And had always been nuts. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yes.
You're always nuts.
And she, like, she was ready to go in the deliberation before she even had to be. Like, she might not have had to go in if she had argued for herself.
Yep.
I mean, she probably would have gone in, but she could have tried, and instead she took her clothes off to reveal her competition uniform and, like, growled at everybody.
I hope they put her in every elimination, like an all-time QB.
I mean,
come in here and face Ayana.
Look, I guess maybe there's a time where there'll be something that she doesn't seem to be the best competitor at, but right now, I don't think she'll go in again. Nobody wants a piece of that.
Yeah.
No one's trying to get smashed by Ayana.
No.
She's
no, I think they're all scared of her now.
Yeah. They should have been scared of her the way she beasted her first elimination.
Yeah.
And again, the only reason she's in there is because of some weird notion from Casey that, well, she did like lose the trivia challenge relatively quickly.
She didn't seem mad about it at all, though, which I enjoyed.
No, she just seemed insane. She never seemed mad or happy. She just seemed insane.
Yeah. Now, look, I thought this, you know, I enjoyed watching this play out. I thought it was all interesting. Losing Katie and Derek is going to be tough for this television program going forward.
I don't know about Katie, but losing Derek's a real problem.
Katie's great in the ITMs. Katie's a little spitfire. She's not a great competitor, but, like, for entertainment value,
she's okay.
Necessary.
She's okay, but I would rather have Ayana, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if I had the choice between Brad and Derek, I obviously want to have Derek.
Right. That's another one though. You don't want to lose either one of those guys. So
No. Yeah, I mean, you really
why isn't like Tyler in this elimination? You know
what I mean? Well, I don't mind Tyler. Like Steve is the guy who's gotta go, and unfortunately he won.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. Why? How'd you let Steve win, you guys?
Yeah. But I'm looking at who's left, and we definitely have done a pretty decent job, like, separating wheat from chaff so far. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple people I can see go, but, like, it's kind of getting down to, like, strong players, interesting people. So
Yep. We're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah. All right. Should we do homework?
Yes, we should. We are going long here, especially
going
since
long.
You
it's Friday.
Messed up the part where I could have edited some nonsense out.
Yeah, my bad. All right. So I had some wariness about watching Get Back, just in that we talked about Beatles thing where I'm like, I've gotten a lot of Beatles content.
Apparently not this content. People are very excited.
People are very excited, and I will say it is rather than old men Beatles telling stories, it's actually Beatles while they're young. So,
I think I asked you this last week, but are you just not that big a Beatles guy?
No, I like the Beatles. I just like, as I said to you, I feel like this is the most examined band in the history of the world.
Okay, but I want to go back to the way you said that. No, I like the Beatles. It feels like you're not a Beatles guy.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, like, I listen to the Beatles all the time, but
Stones
I have Beatles records.
Okay, see, that's already, you've already told
I would lean,
me who you are.
I would lean Beatles, though.
Oh, you
that's
would?
That's the thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I would lean Beatles, because I'm generally more a melody over attitude guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm with you. Also, I'm a more, like, I like the psychedelic stuff.
But I like them both, and I don't love either.
Me
Does
too.
That make sense?
I love the Beatles. I like the Stones. And so for me, this is an easy choice to watch this. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but we will now.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. We're also going to watch something called Harlem, which is Megan Good, right?
And really, that's all I need to know. But, you know, it looks interesting. It's on Amazon Prime.
It's a Sex in the City-ish type thing.
See,
we're not going to watch the new Sex in the City.
I said that.
You said that.
But I said that out of ignorance, and I'm not sure it's true.
Okay. Well, maybe it's not true, but if I think that, it's because Kolsky said it.
Come on.
It's true. there's an HBO show called Landscapers with Olivia Colman and David Thewlis, and that's why we're watching it. I don't know much more about it other than I think there's a body.
Two bodies, I believe. Two bodies.
Two bodies?
That's what I read.
Yeah.
I wrote one sentence and it included the words two bodies.
I wrote down Jacob Collier and I don't remember what that is. What is Jacob Collier?
He's the musician that I opened the show with.
That we're going to listen to. Okay, that's why I wrote that down.
I recommend going on YouTube and looking at some live stuff.
Okay.
But right, also,
I won't see the looping thing in the record is what you're saying, right? On the record, they're just songs.
So. I mean, yeah, like I go ahead and check out the record too, but at some point, definitely watch some live stuff.
Right. It's like if you're comparing to Robert DeLong, right? It's much more interesting to see Robert DeLong do these things than just hear Robert DeLong.
100%. Not that the album isn't good, but you want to see the whole experience.
Gotcha. All right, let's get the hell out of here.
Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.